But the message is going forth. People are hearing the wonderful good news, and souls are being saved. God planned it that way. The message would go out because there would be a message to deliver. Now, you know, you say that far back, when did all of this come into place? Well, God is all powerful and He's omniscient. And we read about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that He was seen as slain before the foundations of the world was laid. God's plans and purposes are indeed something wonderful to think about. Nothing is done that doesn't have reason to it for being done. And again, is no one on the face of the earth can lay claim to being omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Our God uniquely, wonderfully, gloriously, He possesses that kind of recognition, that kind of position in this universe that we live in. Now, I think about the day in which we live, the gospel has reached us. In that expanse of time, from the very moment that God planned all of this until this present night, you know, everything has fallen into place exactly the way God planned it. Nothing by accident. God planned it this way. And of course, we focus upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm going to read and the thoughts that I'm going to bring before you are relative to the person of the Lord Jesus, knowing that He is so important to us. He is God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. And He certainly deserves that title, Savior of sinners. And I tell you, He does a good job in saving people. Not only that, God's approval is upon what He has done to provide salvation. I think of all of the things that are done that I look upon it and think about it as pure mockery. That someone that claims to be an authority, a minister or a preacher or a priest or whatever, and he claims that he has what people need in the way of spiritual help. He's an emissary of the devil. The God of this world blinds the minds of those that will not believe the glorious gospel of Christ, what God has established and provided for us in the person of the Lord Jesus. They won't believe that. And Satan blinds their minds. Again, I think about it so often. The light that has come into the world, that mighty light. You know, before the sun ever was then placed in the heavens, it said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. His beloved Son is the light of this world. My, the enlightenment that He dispels when He comes into our minds, hearts, and souls, He dispels that darkness. All of that foolishness, all of that stuff that was in there that was false. He eradicates that. He dispels that. And He opens our minds up to the truth. What does the Scripture say about the truth? Know the truth and it will set you free. And the Lord Jesus Christ certainly is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I don't know if you ever think about it like this, but how emotional is the Lord? He certainly possesses passion and love for us. His plans and purposes are all important to Him to be carried out. Obedience is better than anything you can think of in your life as a believer. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So when you think about God and His plans and purposes, they are designed to fit our need. We have a need, don't we? We're dead in trespasses and sin. And God knows that. He knows every one of us. He knew us ere we ever turned our faces toward Him. He knew our condition. Before I even knew what my condition was before Him, and He provided what was needed to rectify that and bring me and you as believers into a place where He could bless us. And we'd be able to say confidently, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. So, from that point in time, when God began to design and do all of these things that He has done, we're going to fast feed forward, and I'm going to take you to a point in the life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm going to read a few verses relative to what He experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you can fill in the blanks. You know that there was rejoicing when He came down. The angelic host. The good tidings of great joy about the Savior's birth, no doubt. God had set in motion His plans and purposes that were planned back, you name it, in the expanse of time. This thing was planned for Him to come into the world just at the right time. There was a rejoicing. Well, during the course of His life, here on the face of the earth, He grew like any other person. He matured. He learned obedience through the things that He suffered, according to the book of Hebrews. And He did everything that was well-pleasing to God the Father. God the Father was delighted with the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus. He loves His Son. His only begotten Son. And as a result of all of that, we are brought up to a point where we discover in reading the Scripture that the world didn't feel the same way about the Son of God that God did. We will not have this man to rule over us. The rejection of the Son of God. And again, the way that they responded to the love of God, what God is doing to bless mankind, what God is doing to dispel darkness, what God is doing to deliver life eternal and blessing and joy and peace and all that you can think of, that indeed is something that each one of us should desire from the depths of our souls, you could find it in Christ. But the world said no. This world said no. And here we find the Lord Jesus at that last Passover with His disciples. He instituted the Lord's Supper, and then they went out into the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, this just didn't happen. This was designed, remember what I told you, this was designed from the very moment that God set in place a plan exactly the way it happened. This to me is thrilling, to know that nothing just happened. Oh, no, it didn't just happen. It was designed that way. And reading from verse 32, they had gone out, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell down on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible with thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. And he cometh and finding them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Everything by design. This setting there with him in the garden, with his disciples. Him being brought face to face. It's not that he did not know what he was facing, but he's coming so close to that moment in time when he that knew no sin was going to be made sin for the whole world, that righteousness might be imparted to those that are dead in trespasses and sin. Nothing is just happening. This is designed by God. But as our Lord, looked into that cup, whatever that cup symbolizes, and we see it as symbolizing everything that was so dark that it's hard to penetrate what's in that cup, but it's horrible. What's in that cup is horrible. And the Lord Jesus knows it's horrible. He knows to drink of what's in that cup will be an experience that he never had before. You say he didn't know what sin was? Of course he knew what sin was. Sin is rebellion against the authority of God. Had he ever rebelled? Never. Is he rebelling now against the will of God? Never. He's simply saying, Father, if there's any other way to save mankind, so be it. Heaven is silent. There's no answer. Because there is no other way. There is no other way. Do you get this picture how divinely and wonderfully God has structured this whole matter of saving our souls, bringing the Lord Jesus to this place in which indeed the horrors of being made sin, having the iniquity of the whole world laid upon him, it breaks in upon his soul and it just overwhelms him and he falls to the ground. You know, thoughts like that come to my mind sometime when we're here remembering the Lord breaking bread. And we break that bread in remembrance of his broken body and his shed blood. It took that. It took all of that. It took everything he experienced to deliver your soul from hell. Wouldn't they sometimes take too lightly what God has done in saving our souls? He saved me. Oh yeah, he saved you. Do you know how far he went in planning and purposing to save your soul? Do you know how intricate and detailed this matter of God's salvation for mankind? Do you realize just how important it is that every facet, every part of it be fulfilled to the letter? It has to be God's way, done in God's way, God's time. Well, he leaves that garden. We'll jump again. Fast speed forward. We go on to Pilate's court. We go before all these people that are passing judgment upon him. What they did, it was predictable that they would do exactly what they did. The hatred, the bitterness, the rejection of the Son of God. If they take the Son of God and they hang him upon a cross. You know, in recent days, I think I've heard more about how important it is to realize that without the Son of God bearing away the penalty of our sin in his own body, satisfying every divine requirement that was made upon him. You must satisfy God first and foremost. What he requires to save a soul, you've got to do it. It's resting upon you. And believe me, beloved, it rested upon him. And it was horrible. The 3 dark hours that he hung upon that cross. I've never heard anybody say, I understand what happened. I don't think it's possible for a human mind to take in and comprehend what he experienced when the wrath and the judgment of God in those 3 darkest hours in the history of mankind, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And what took place there? Ain't nothing like it ever happened on the face of the earth, before or since. Nothing. There's nothing that can rival what God does in this business of providing salvation for a human soul. There's nothing that can rival it. There's nothing that can match it. As far as it being absolutely perfect in every sense. Not one flaw can be found in anything that God has ever done in saving your soul and my soul. And you know, it grieves me sometimes that I take it so lightly. I said, oh Lord, help me to come to grips with what it costs to save my soul. Help me to understand so that there will be a deeper appreciation for the person of the Son of God. What he did for me. No one else could do this for me. No one else cared for me like Jesus. And without that sacrifice that he made, without being abandoned of God, feeling the wrath and the judgment of God, there wouldn't be any salvation for anybody. And God could have justly and fairly said, if you want to disobey me and go your way and spend eternity separated from me, so be it. Isn't that what he does with those that turn their backs upon him? Isn't it a grief to think about it? You have someone that you love. You have someone that you see that's living under the power and the darkness that Satan has created to keep that person in. And so, oh, what to God. That's why we have a prayer meeting. That's why we have a prayer meeting. Listen, brother and sister, let's pray that something's going to happen in our prayers. I remember my own family tell me one time, I've never had a definitive answer to any prayer I ever uttered. I thought, well, maybe you don't know the Lord. No response. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Then you say, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Our God is fair in everything that He does. When He sends a soul into eternity, into the lake of fire, it's fair what He has done. Opportunity has been provided. All that needed to be done has been done. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight and you're on your way to heaven and all of your sins are forgiven and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you're able to call upon our God in His name and in that power? Have Him answer your prayers. If you had any prayers answered, could you definitively say, I know I've had prayers answered. I prayed and God heard my prayers and He answered my prayers. Have you ever had any prayers answered? I trust you have. And I hope that it's deeply marked in your soul that God does what He says He will do. Call upon me in the day of trouble. You call and you ask for my help. You make sure that your own heart and soul is clean and pure and holy before me. I will answer your prayer. I will bless you. And you will praise and worship me. Well, there's a lot more that could be said about this, but I read what Bill McDonald said about in his commentary about the person of the Lord Jesus and what He suffered under the wrath and the judgment of God. And he, in a sense, said, if that doesn't move, if that does not move a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to a fresh encounter with God, in worship and praise and in obedience to His will and His way for His life, I doubt if you know the Lord. There are a lot of people that are saying, I'm a Christian. But I'll tell you what. It seems to me like there's a whole lot that's either misunderstood or it's never been understood as to what God has done, planned and purposed in detail, intricate detail. Everything that's been done was planned and purposed. It was done the way God wanted to do it, and He saved our souls. And help us, we pray Thee, Lord, today as we gather here and as we have a prayer meeting together, that our hearts are prepared to call upon You, knowing full well You designed us to have that capability to call upon You. We can call upon the Lord. We can move the hand of God to bless someone, to save a soul. And we need to do it. And we need to have our souls conditioned. Don't give place to unconfessed sin in your life. Psalm 66:18, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God won't hear you. Oh, be ready, be prepared to be a blessing tonight as we go to prayer. Everyone praying throughout this 30 minutes or so that we'll be here. Move the hand of God to bring about blessing to someone. that we know. Our Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that as we gather here, it'll be a blessed, happy time together. We're calling upon Thee, Lord. We have contact with You, Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're able to come into Your presence because we're accepted in Him, Your beloved Son. You hear our cries, and You want to bless us, and You want to encourage us. Lord, have our hearts and souls conditioned to accept Your blessing. Enrich our lives and increase our faith. All for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen.